Hello and welcome to Alamo Venus, episode 152. I'm your host, Joseph. Hope you're all well. And in this episode, we're going to be going through a very short and nice biography on Arthur Schopenhauer, who was a German philosopher in the late 18th century. Highly recognized there. And he was also quite inspired by Friedrich Nietzsche, because his philosophy often talked about the idiocracy of Western society, how that was growing as well, which also Nietzsche and Dostoevsky both talked about. And he talks about bringing Indian and Eastern philosophy back into the idea, where he focuses on the more traditional values of success and of the world and whatnot. He talks about thinking less of yourself, more of others, trying to negate the ego as best as possible. And he believed that using Indian philosophy, which is one of the Asian philosophies that he abided by and sort of gave more impact to, was something that allowed him to give more power to himself, because he was influenced to helping more people, and his texts have proven that. He wasn't that popular. Not many people knew about him. More people know about people like Socrates and Aurelius, Nietzsche, that type of thing. But that's just how they were documented many, many years ago. Often, fame towards people depends on many things. Depends on the hierarchy, their power level, where you are in the world, how much those people agree with your ideas, right? And that's why, you know, it's the argument of Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was known to have made electricity before Thomas Edison did, but because Thomas Edison lived in America, one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and there was more press there, more social media presence there, they were able to endorse the idea of lighting and electricity more. So that's an interesting fact to take in. But without further ado, we're going to look more into Arthur Schopenhauer's life. Right, so let's begin. He was born on the 22nd of February 1788 and died 21st of September 1860. Sorry, it was early 19th century. He was a German philosopher, best known for his work, 1818, work The World as Will and Representation. It was also expanded in 1844. It characterizes the phenomenal world as the manifestation of a blind and irrational nominal will. So that's actually very similar to what Nietzsche and Dostoevsky said, because they both agreed that human stupidity is one of the biggest downgrading factors to why humans have struggled so much, why wars have happened, why famine has happened, why economies have collapsed. Just from simple stupidity, humans manage to screw themselves over. And it's not a matter of lack of intelligence. It's a matter of just poor decision-making and not thinking correctly. Or maybe you do think correctly, but your biases don't lead you to make the best decision in that scenario. I can imagine we've all been there, you know, especially if you're going, it happens more realistically if you're going clubbing and whatnot, because you'd feel less afraid to make super mistakes. However, if you're in work or if you're on a date, you want to limit the amount of mistakes as best possible, because there's a high possibility, especially in work, that you're not going to get that job back. So that's a way to see it there. He built on the transcendental idealism of Immanuel Kant, which he basically focused on beauty philosophy and focused a lot on the ideas of the mind, how we gain our experiences from sensory, so from the ears, from smell, from listening, from seeing, from feeling. And he was sort of the person who influenced that idea. Now, this has been more talked about from even the earliest years of Socrates, when they talk about existentialism, how your knowledge and wisdom is developed by your experiences. But Immanuel Kant, as it says here, who was also a German philosopher, said to have influenced that idea. I've noticed as well that a lot of the great philosophers, especially that we talked about on this podcast, have been German. That's not the case that I have a bias towards them, or you know, there's loads of them. I mean, it probably is that actually. I don't actually know what. Maybe philosophy is highly valued in Germany. Obviously, they had Albert Einstein, who is considered to be the most intelligent man to ever live. So, again, possibly, the thing is as well, it was more in the 19th and 18th century that philosophy, science really started to grow. So maybe they focused on a lot in Germany as well. Who knows? Who knows? That might have actually influenced their sort of political viewpoints, which caused wars such as World War II and World War I. But maybe that's looking into a bit too much. But again, it's a point to consider. Schopenhauer developed an atheistic metaphysical and ethical system that rejected the contemporaneous ideas of German idealism. He was among the first thinkers in Western philosophy to share and affirm significant tenets of Indian philosophy. German philosophy is movements in the 18th and 19th century. Again, it was developed by Immanuel Kant in the 80s and 90s and was closely linked to Romanticism and the revolutionary politics of Enlightenment. In fact, it was actually named post-Kantian idealism. Right. So, there's a lot of power on that. You know what's powerful when they're named after an own philosopher. There's Marxism, which is, of course, introduced by Leo Marx. I think I said his name wrong. Leo Marx. What's his name? Name, he's got a name. Right. Mute. Right, there we go. It says his name. What's his name again? I think it's Lenin. Lenin Marxist. I think that's his name. It'll say right here. No, it doesn't say. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, but Karl Marx was the first person, hence it's called Marxism. We talked about that before, I can imagine, if I recall correctly. But yeah, Indian philosophy such as asceticism, which is the philosophy of beauty and taste, denial of the self, which is to do with lowering the ego, and the notion of the world as appearance. His work has been described as an exemplary manifestation of philosophical pessimism, which is very similar to Nietzsche and Dostoevsky. Though his work failed to garner substantial attention during his lifetime, Schopenhauer had a posthumous impact across various disciplines, including philosophy, literature, and science. His writings on aesthetics, morality, and psychology have influenced many thinkers and artists. World as appearance has multiple meanings in Indian philosophies, depending on the context. A later verdict text. Magic show illusion, where things appear to be present, but are not what they seem. The principle which shows attributeless, absolute, or having attributes. Mayer also connotes that which is constantly changing, and thus is spiritual unreal, in opposition to an unchanging absolute or Brahman, and therefore conceals the true character of spiritual reality. Right. Right. So it's like an illusion that appearances can be deluding. Well, I'm sure we all know that. But it talks into more depth there. So that's when you want to search out such a world as appearance and Indian philosophy. Okay, so now we go into a bit more of his earlier life. So you get the idea of what his teachings was. Again, his teachings is more on lowering the ego. It's also based on old and Eastern philosophy, which is the rejection of beauty and its understanding of the deepness of character and whatnot. He was, of course, the idea was influenced by Immanuel Kant, which develops on existentialism, which again is the wisdom from experiences. But let's go into his early life now. Arthur Schopenhauer was born on the 22nd of February 1788 in Danzig. He was the son of Johannes Schopenhauer, who was born 1766-1838, and Heinrich Floris Schopenhauer, 1747-1805. Both descendants of wealthy German politicians' families, while they come from a Protestant background. Neither of them was very religious. Both supported French Revolution, were Republicans, cosmopolitans, and Anglophiles. When Danzig became part of Prussia in 1793, Heinrich moved to Hamburg, a free city with a Republican constitution. His firm continued trading in Danzig, where most of their extended families remained. Adele, Arthur's only sibling, was born on 12th of July 1797, so 9 years after he was born. In 1797, Arthur was sent to a Havre to live with the family of his father's business associate, Gregor de Blessimer. He seemed to enjoy his 2 year stay there, learning to speak French and fostering a lifelong friendship with Jean Anthony Gregor de Blessimer. As early as 1799, Arthur stayed playing the flute. In 1803, he accompanied his parents on a European tour of Holland, Britain, France, Western Austria, and Prussia. Viewed as primary pleasure of tour, Heinrich used the opportunity to visit some of his business associates abroad. Heinrich offered Arthur a choice. He could stay at home and start preparations for university, or he could travel with them and continue his merchant education. Arthur chose to travel with them. He deeply regretted his choice later because the merchant training was very tedious. He spent 12 weeks of the tour attending a school in Wimbledon, where he was disillusioned by strict and intellectually shallow Anglican religiosity. He continued to sharply criticize Anglican religiosity later in life despite his general Anglophilia. He was also depressed from his father, who became very critical of his education results. A lot of pressure for Schopenhauer there. So Anglophile is someone who has a strong interest in love, English people, culture, and history. Okay. In 1805, Heinrich drowned in a canal near their home in Hamburg. Although it was possible that his death was accidental, his wife's son believed that it was suicide. He was prone to anxiety and depression, each becoming more pronounced later in his life. Heinrich had become so fussy, even his wife started to doubt his mental health. There was in the father's life some dark and vague source of fear, which later made him hurl to his death, the attic of his house in Hamburg. Arthur showed similar moodiness during his youth and often acknowledged that he inherited it from his father. There were other instances of serious mental health problems on his father's side of the family, despite his hardship. Schopenhauer liked his father and later referred to him in a positive light. Heinrich Schopenhauer left the family with a significant inheritance that was split in three among Johanna and the children. Arthur Schopenhauer was entitled to control of his part when he reached the age of majority. He invested it conservatively in government bonds and earned annual interest, nice, that was more than double the salary of a university professor. After quitting his merchant apprenticeship with some encouragement from his mother, he dedicated himself to studies at the Ernestine Gymnasium, Gotha, in Saxe Gotha, Altenburg. While frugal mother, he left the gymnasium after writing a satirical poem about one of the schoolmasters, although Arthur claimed that he left voluntarily. His mother's letters indicates that he may have been expelled. Arthur spent 2 years as a merchant in honor of his deaf father. During this time, he had doubts about being able to start a new life as a scholar. Most of his prior education was a practical merchant, and he had trouble learning Latin, a prerequisite for an academic career. His mother moved away with her daughter Adele to Weimar, in the center of German literature, to enjoy social life among writers and artists. Arthur and his mother did not part on good terms. In one letter, she wrote, "You are unbearable and burdensome, and very hard to live with. All your good qualities are overshadowed by your conceit and made useless to the world simply because you could not restrain your propensity to pick holes in other people." Sorry, but the words that Wikipedia and philosophers use, I have to research it. An inclination and natural tendency to behave in particular. Ah, okay. So he has a tendency to annoy other people. Right. Pick faults on other people. His mother, Johanna, was generally described as vivacious and sociable. She died 24 years later. Some of Arthur's negative opinions about women may be rooted in his troubled relationship with his mother. Wow. Arthur moved to Hamburg to live with his friend, Jean Anthem, who has also set in to become a merchant. Right, so let's look back at some of this now. Right. Okay. Okay, so let's look at his education now. It's also got his signature here, which looks really good, actually. A picture of his birthplace and a picture of him when he was young. Again, all of this is on Wikipedia if you want to look at it. Okay, his education. He moved to Weimar, but did not live with his mother. We even tried to discourage him from coming by explaining that they would not get along very well. The relationship deteriorated even further due to the temperament differences. He accused his mother of being financially irresponsible, flirtatious, and seeking to remarry, which he considered an insult to his father's memory. His mother, while professing her love to him, criticized him sharply for being moody, tactless, and argumentative, and urged him to improve his behavior so he would not alienate people. Arthur concentrated on his studies, which had now gone very well. He also enjoyed the usual social life, such as balls, parties, and theater. By that time, Joanna's famous salon was well established among local intellectuals and dignitaries, most celebrated of them being Goethe. What's Goethe? Johann Goethe was a German poet, playwright, novelist, scientist, statesman, theatre director, and critic. His work includes plays, poetry, right? And that's quite an achievement. Arthur attended her parties, usually when he knew that Goethe would be there, although the famous writer and statesman seemed not even to notice the young and unknown student. It's possible that Goethe kept distance because Johanna warned him about her son's depressive and combative nature, or because Goethe was then on bad terms with Arthur's language instructor and roommate Franz Passau. Schopenhauer was also captivated by the beautiful Caroline Jagmaine, Mistress Karl August, Grand Duke of Saxe, Weimar, Eisenach. And he wrote to her his only known love poem. And she was a major tragedian and singer. Her great roles include Elizabeth and Mary Stuart's. Right, okay. Tragedian. What's tragedian? Tragedian is an actress. An actress, okay. She was an actress and a singer. It's interesting because if you wanted to be well known or if you wanted to earn a lot of money, you typically have to be someone like a writer, or writers were huge back then, a singer, a theater actor, or an investor, those type of things. Those are the only really big ways to make money. And it's so interesting how popular it was back days. It's beautiful. So obviously it's a lot different to what it is now. There's different ways you can make money, make a career. But it's great to see what they were like. Despite his later celebrations of and negative views of sexuality, Schopenhauer occasionally had sexual affairs, usually with women of lower social status, such as servants, actresses, and sometimes even paid prostitutes. In a letter to his friend Anthem, he claims that such affairs continued even in his mature age, and admits that he had two out-of-wedlock daughters born in 1819 and 1836, both of whom died in infancy. In the youthful correspondence, Arthur and Athame were somewhat boastful and competitive about their sexual exploits, but Schopenhauer seemed aware that women usually did not find him very charming or physically attractive, and his desires often remain unfulfilled. He left Weimar to become a student at the University of Göttingen in 1809. There are no written reasons about why Schopenhauer chose the university instead of the then more famous University of Jena. But Göttingen was known as more modern and scientifically oriented, with less attention given to the theology. Law of medicine were usual choices for young men of Schopenhauer status who also needed a career and income. He chose medicine due to his scientific interests. Among his notable professors were Bernhard Friedrich Debuts Arnold Herman Ludwig Herin. I'm not going to say the name. There's a lot of teachers that he had. He studied metaphysics, psychology, and logic under Gottlob Ernst Schulze, the author of Einsidemus. Einsidemus is a German book published in 1792. Scholes attempted to refute the principles that Carl Leonhard Reinhold established in support of Immanuel Kant's critique of pure reason. He made a strong impression, advised him to concentrate on Plato and Immanuel Kant. He decided to switch from medicine to philosophy around 1810 to 11 and left Göttingen, which did not have a strong philosophy program. Besides Schulze, the only other philosophy professor was Friedrich Butterweg, whom Schopenhauer disliked. He did not regret his medicinal and scientific studies. He claimed that they were necessary for a philosopher, and even in Berlin he attended more lectures in science than philosophy. During his days at Göttingen, he spent considerable time studying, but also continued his flute playing and social life. His friends included Friedrich Gotthilf Ossian, Karl Weitz, Christian Charles Josiah von Bunsen, and William Backhaus at Stor Seer. Okay, so my impression of Schopenhauer right now is interesting how he talks about humans and their stupidity, their irrational belief, their irrational decision-making. Yeah, he had the same problem. He was very stupid. He had very bad judgment. Maybe he realized this and saw patterns of the same behavior in all different types of other people and wanted to publish that idea, of which he did. That's something that Robert Greene talks about. It's something Nietzsche talks about. It's something Dostoevsky talks about. How one of the biggest problems that humans face is not that they're not intelligent, it's that they're very stupid. Their judgment is very poor. That often stems from emotion, right? Your belief systems, how you think about the world, how you see things, your beliefs about certain things, what you think is right, what you think is wrong. Often, most of the time, it's just completely false. It just doesn't happen. Again, we still have these problems. We still have these things which really do affect our lives. And for a lot of people, it's very, very, very hard for them to overcome that. Some people don't overcome that. So, again, it's very interesting about that. But Schopenhauer. So again, he was someone who was a big influence to Friedrich Nietzsche. Very big, and you know, you could argue successful there. Right. Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that. That's it for this one. There is more on his work. We could possibly have another look into this, delve into a bit more. But Schopenhauer is also thought of him in 1815. But have a look at these people, guys, because there's no philosophers today. There's no really big names of people who influence this deep, deep philosophical and scientific work. A lot of it is stuff that's either repeated but said differently, or new ideas which don't make any sense. So, Schopenhauer, have a look at philosophers like Nietzsche, Dostoevsky, Socrates, Plato. You can have a look at Schopenhauer. I haven't looked at much of his work. Another good work is Machiavelli. Machiavelli is really good. He writes a great book called Prince. He also wrote a book called The Art of War. Both of them are highly linked to do with psychology, power, human behavior. So have a look at that. But that's it for this episode, guys. What do you think of Schopenhauer? Do you like him? Do you not like him? Are there similar traits you had in him? Whatnot? Let me know what you think. Also, message me as well. Do you want to see more videos, more episodes like this? Or do you want to see more specific things on growth and personal development? More things on health, trading, finances, investing, psychology, whatever it is. So let me know. Apart from that, I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. Have a great day. And I will hear from you soon.